Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron is not with us today.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're talking about fibrous dysplasia with Brittany Anderson. Brittany is a 36-year-old woman from Indiana. Fibrous dysplasia is causing her bones to grow at any time. There have been many challenges, but Brittany is a true advocate warrior and is hoping to enlighten others today. Hello, Brittany, and thank you for joining our show.
Hi, Brittany.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Brittany, could you start us off by telling us what exactly is fibrous dysplasia?
Fibrous dysplasia is a bone disease, and it can affect any bone in the body. If a single bone is affected, it's called monostotic fibrous dysplasia. And if multiple bones are affected, it's called polyostotic fibrous dysplasia.
Okay.
Scar-like tissue replaces the diseased bone, and the regular tissue can weaken the bones and cause them to deform and fracture.
Oh.
And what are the common misconceptions about this disease?
One very misconception is that it gets easier the longer you have the disease, which in reality, it kind of gets more frustrated and harder to deal with. And another misconception is that all FD can be treated the same way, but that's very false because some people with FD don't have no pain at all.
Okay.
And some people like me have constant pain every day.
Oh, I'm sorry
to hear that.
And can I ask, is this something that you've had since birth and how was it diagnosed?
Yes, you're born with it and it's a mutation in the gene. And the gene is called GNAS.
Okay.
And then the mutated gene produces a protein
mm-hmm.
called GS-alpha, which is dysfunctional.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I've never heard of it before. Is this a very common condition?
It's 1 in 30,000 people.
Oh, no, not common at all.
Well, we knew you were, you know, rare, but you're rare in many ways.
Yes, and a super rare, yes.
Yeah.
Are there any other conditions that are associated with fibrous dysplasia?
McCune-Albright syndrome is associated, and it's when the bones and other tissues are affected, like with your pituitary gland.
Okay.
How does that affect the pituitary gland?
It can affect, like, any of the hormones.
Oh,
like
okay. Okay.
Okay. And how long? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, but it can affect just one, or it can affect all of them.
Okay.
Okay. And Brittany, how long did it take for you to get a diagnosis?
I wasn't diagnosed till I was 13, and that was just because I had had a tooth pulled,
mm-hmm.
and the swelling from the extraction never went down,
so
then they had to do a biopsy.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
That's a lot to have for a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
Right.
And how have they been treating your fibrous dysplasia and then also your pain?
Surgeries are only treatment.
Oh.
I've had 12 so far.
Oh, wow.
And they use a treatment that they use in cancer to help the bone growth, but that's not like proven to help all bone growth.
Okay.
And then the hormone related issues have their own kind of treatments, of course.
Sure.
But most of my pain, I've tried kind of everything over the years,
mm-hmm.
so now I'm just at a point where I just deal with it most of the time.
And can it be cured? Is there a way, like for, you said it's genetic, so can they use CRISPR or manipulate the genes in any way, or is there anything like that?
No.
Okay.
They haven't found any cure or really any, you know, good treatment.
Okay.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for somebody that has been diagnosed with fibrous dysplasia?
My advice would be to not forget to live, since you try so hard to survive. And I'd also say to love every part of yourself, even the pain, the scars, and possibly the deformity. It took me 20 years to learn this lesson, and one I wish someone would have taught me the importance of.
We've covered mental health conditions quite a bit in our podcast, and mental health and physical health go hand in hand, and one, you don't have the other. So you have great advice. You have to accept yourself as you are with whatever limitations that you've got, and work on the strengths that you got so that those are what push you forward. But you're the advocate, and you're the one that's doing this, so I'm preaching to the choir here, right? You're doing good on that already.
Yeah. And Brittany, what role have friends and family played in your healthcare journey? Because you were so young when you were diagnosed.
Like as a kid, like I was, you know, surrounded by a lot of friends. As soon as like our hobby started to change, like they slowly disappeared. And like when my health, I guess, never got better, like the less friends I had. And then family, like I've always been with my mom. I still am. So I have her full support at all times. And my dad supports me, you know, a lot from a distance. So
that's important.
But yeah.
I know we didn't put this into the script, but what has been the hardest part of your journey, do you think, so far? The numerous surgeries or the worry? You know, what do you think is the most difficult part?
I would say the hardest thing I've came upon was the disease that took all my teeth 5 years ago. And because of the disease, I haven't been able to get any teeth since.
Oh.
So that's been a part of my journey that I really wasn't prepared for, I guess.
For sure, for sure. Is that something that they're going to be working on, or is it something that is not workable for you?
I know people haven't had much luck with the disease to get like implants, but I mean, they'd be worth getting like once I can afford to get them. And then I would need quite a few surgeries to fix like my palate and stuff before I could ever get any.
Okay.
So it'd be a long process.
Sure, sure. In the meantime, are dentures something that you could be fitted with, or do dentures not fit your palate?
Well, my Medicaid pay for a pair, but the dentist wasn't really informed on the disease, so he made them pretty quickly, and so they will never fit because of all the extractions. I had new growth because it like activated the disease. So
right, I understand that.
Never fit.
Jean and I both have dental problems from a different reason. We have a genetic problem called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and
yes.
And we also have dental problems, and I'm going to
I was gonna say, if Lita gives you a big smile, if my mom gives you a big smile right now for the camera, you'll see.
All right, I'm gonna smile. If you can see, I'm missing my front two teeth right now, but I'm going to
a dental school,
the University of Illinois Chicago Dental School, for my dental care. And they provide care, and they have graduate programs with implants and the like. So they have, and they also have mandibular reconstructive surgery. They do everything there at a very reduced price to the patient. Something to keep in mind. You're not, I don't know, what part of Indiana are you in?
Avon, but very close to Indianapolis.
Okay, it's not too far of a drive. I know it's a hike, right, to come up to Chicago, but there may be a dental school near Indianapolis that has such a program that you might want to look into, because the price is considerably cheaper than going to a regular dentist.
And they're used to dealing with and they're excited about dealing with cases with complex medical histories because it's an educational tool for them as well.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'll have to definitely look into that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we know how hard it is not to have teeth.
Oh, yeah, we do.
It's a big challenge.
We definitely.
Yeah, I advocate with people with that same disease to get teeth because we're trying to get a bill passed right now with Congress called the Ensuring Lasting Smiles Act.
I love this.
And it would pay for all, you know, dental care and loss of teeth, like through the whole process. It would never be a problem.
That's a wonderful, wonderful idea. Are you the sponsor of this bill or who's pushing this bill?
I know the sponsors are, one of them is Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Okay.
I'm not sure like what state she's from.
Okay, I'll look her up.
She's a huge advocate on this bill, and it didn't get passed with the last Congress, but we're advocating next month on Congress on virtual Capitol Hill, but to try to get it passed again with the new Congress.
That's wonderful. Good, 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 good. I love hearing about things like that. Were there any other surgeries that you've had that have been really kind of, you know, detrimental or really hard on you?
I've had 3 brain surgeries.
Wow.
And I'd say the first 2 I had when I was 15 because the McCune-Albright syndrome, I had a brain tumor on my pituitary gland. So those 2 were, I was new, you know, still to surgeries. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really informed on how a lot would change afterwards. So it kind of took me having to live through it to figure out everything that would change. Because like now I'm used to surgery and what it entails, but back then I really wasn't.
And you were 15 then?
Yeah.
Wow. Did your mother have to learn quite a bit during this journey with you?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Well, and did anyone else in your family, you know, does anyone else in your family have this condition? Or have you found on like Facebook or anything, other people in that type of, have you guys built a community?
Yeah, I'm in quite a few groups.
Okay.
And our fibrous dysplasia group, I want to say there's like 3,000 to 5,000 of us. But that's also like mothers and
right caregivers,
you know, family.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
That's fantastic.
And we had a conference back in 2017 where we all got to meet.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was pretty great.
That's nice.
Yeah, because it's hard to even, you know, fathom what you're going through. And it, that's wonderful.
It's good to have that camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it changes hearing someone say they understand and know they understand.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, because we can't even imagine what it is like. And also trading, you know, information and advice.
Right.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
Brittany, what role does self-care have in your journey?
Very important. I work on my mental health daily, trying to keep myself smiling and going through all my pain is some of the best things I can do for myself. I live with so much pain every day, and I face a lot of difficulty that it's important to stay positive and to stay enjoying my life no matter how bad I feel or how bad I suffer.
Good advice.
And what are some of the things that you do enjoy doing?
I love like crafting and building. And like painting and puzzles.
Nice. Jean Marie is
that kind of takes your focus.
Right.
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 Right. Jean has chronic pain and she likes crafting. You know what she ended up doing?
Okay.
She ended up making, she always wanted a dollhouse.
I'm so sorry that we're taking up your time with this.
She always wanted a dollhouse. So she has this dollhouse and she is transforming it into a haunted dollhouse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's distressing the walls and the floors and the roof, and she's got holes in the roof. Yeah, it's kind of unique, but it's kind of fun. And I can understand how that,
yes,
when you get focused on one thing, that that really takes everything in you to work with, it does alleviate some of the pain. Jean also has found that listening to books on tape when she's laying in bed, have you ever tried that?
No.
She's found that to be relaxing, I guess, Jean?
I also clean the grout with a toothbrush, but let's get off of me and back to Brittany.
I was just giving her some suggestions.
I know, but I do that too, and it's very, you know,
I guess it depends on where your pain level is.
I just can't get up afterwards. But anyway, okay. But Brittany, back to you. What additional advice, tricks, tips do you have for someone who's living with fibrous dysplasia?
I'd say to always love yourself. I think we all spend so much time pointing out what we dislike. Accepting and loving ourselves completely will help you get through the toughest of days, even if you're going through it alone. We alone have the strength and endurance to make it through anything.
Wow, that's
powerful.
That's a very powerful statement right there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Brittany, for taking the time to join us today. I'm sorry it took so many tries to get you on the show. I know we had conflicts, you had conflicts, and we had equipment issues, but we made it. And
yes.
We really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so
much.
Thank
you for having me.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Yeah, and if you're ever in town, you can see our very clean grout and the dollhouse.
And the dollhouse.
Not that far out.
Right. Maybe we'll put a picture of the dollhouse for Halloween.
We'll have to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Brittany, how can our listeners learn more about you, fibrodysplasia? Do you have any social media accounts that you'd like to share with our listener audience?
The Fibrous Dysplasia Foundation is good for information on the disease, and they're now called the FDMAS Alliance.
Okay.
And then my Instagram is BrittanyNA84. My Twitter is Britt Anderson, and my Facebook is Brittany Anderson.
Okay. Yeah, we'll put links for that on our, we build a website page for each of our guests, so we'll put links for all of those on our website page for you.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You. And we'll also have links to the Ensuring Lasting Smiles.
Right.
And really try to push that as well, because, that's fantastic idea.
Yes, love it. Well, if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram as well.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or the qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.